Barstool Big Cat, host of Pardon My Take, and voluminous tweeter at Barstool Big Cat. It's time for his weekly conversation with Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
That's right. Every Thursday at 4, Barstool Big Cat's brought to you by Twin Peaks.
Eats, drinks, scenic views.
You and Waddle are very similar these days, Big Cat. Waddle cannot wait to gamble. He is so excited, as much as he stinks at it, he can't wait.
I don't
want to
cut any fingers off, though.
Wow. So you're ready. So you love the board this weekend.
Okay,
you're
no,
excited
this is,
for the board.
This is how it goes. Like, I vowed in 2020 not to gamble at all because I was so bad last year. And like, I'm not gambling high stakes, but I didn't win a bet, I don't think, after like maybe April of 2019. So I decided in 2020 I wasn't going to make a bet. That lasted about an hour. I made a bet last week. I bet a four-team teaser with the guys behind the glass, and I also bet on the Saints straight up. And oh. I lost both. And then Monday and Tuesday, I spent both days swearing off gambling again, and by Wednesday, I was looking for the next opportunity.
Yeah.
So have you done college basketball yet?
I have
that
not.
That is a ride.
I have not.
That's crazy. You never know what to expect with that. I also just want to say, don't tease. What are you doing? Why are you the only thing you tease when you tease is yourself.
I got one with Abdallah.
We have a 10-team teaser, Abdallah and I do.
What are you doing? What happens
to the
box?
It's 10 bucks.
It's 10 bucks.
Oh, man.
It's just for
fun. All right, so what's a 10-team teaser?
You want some?
Yeah, I'll write it down. Help me.
Give me a second. Talk amongst yourselves. I'll give you a topic.
Look, I'm back on. You know, I'm back in.
What's your play of the weekend?
So I was looking at this weekend, and this weekend's always difficult for me because we always do the recency bias. You see the Vikings win in New Orleans, you're like, oh man, the Vikings are hot. But you forget. Oh, yeah, the teams that have a bye for a reason. Like, these teams are the best teams in the NFL. That's how stupid our brains work. I was looking through it, 25-7 straight up the home team in divisional round since 2011. So my can't-lose parlay is the Niners, the Ravens, and the Chiefs. Just take them, put them all together, and it's even money, and you don't have to worry about any spreads. Because I don't think that these spreads are way too big this weekend. Like, a 10-point spread in a NFL playoff game is crazy.
Yeah, and that's why we tease them down, as Adam Abdallah was just informing. That's why we tease those things down, because it makes it easier to get up over top of those.
Okay, and what do you guys like in I've dubbed it the Fraud Bowl on Sunday night, the Seahawks and the Packers. Neither of those teams are good.
If
the Packers go to the Super Bowl, I'm going to walk from South Beach. I'm going to walk directly in the Atlantic Ocean and just never come back. That team is not good. It's driving me insane.
I'm with you.
But you know what? Like Seattle, like Josh McCown marched that team up and down the field. They just kicked field goals. Think about what Aaron Rodgers could do to them.
Yeah, but Aaron Rodgers isn't good anymore. He's old. He's not good. He's not the same Aaron Rodgers. I can't stand it. They're going to win in some ridiculous way. Like, you know, Russell Wilson's going to throw an interception, what he never does. Something stupid's going to happen, and the Packers are going to go to the NFC Championship game.
And
I'm going to sit there and just be like, this cannot happen. I'm already going to Miami no matter what. We always do the week down in Miami for the Super Bowl. If I have to deal with the Packers being in the Super Bowl, it's going to be hell. It's going to be hell.
Okay, let me just, you know, give you a little snapshot of what your Sunday is going to look like, all right, mister, as a Bears fan? Early game, you're going to watch Son of a Mitch Bowl Part 2. As Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes lead their teams up and down the field, scoring touchdowns at will. One of them will win. Either one of them winning hurts equally.
Yep.
And then the afternoon or early evening game kicks off, and it is going to be the Green Bay Packers getting past an injury-depleted Seattle Seahawks team. So let's recap again as Bears fans. You're going to watch Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes duel for the second time this year, and then you're going to watch the Packers, the dreaded Packers, advance in the postseason. How you like me now?
Oh, and just throw in the fact that some way I'm sure the Vikings will win, even though they shouldn't win because they're not good either, and the Packers will have an NFC Championship game at home, and we'll have to watch the Vikings and Packers and sit there and be like, what the heck is going on? So that will probably be added. The only thing that's good for me is what you just described on Sunday will happen,
yep.
but I will be in New Orleans for it because I'm going to the national title game on Monday night.
Look at you.
So I'll probably, hopefully, have some drinks in hand, and I don't have to worry about watching the Packers win and be a win away from the Super Bowl.
You have to text Cutler.
I already have.
Oh, good. Are you guys going to see? Because we had him on last hour, and he's going down there
as well.
Yeah,
he'll be down there.
You guys have to have a hug or something.
We'll see. The gang might get back together, hopefully. Fingers crossed.
When you, I know you're more mature now. You're older. You're like a fine wine. You have a child.
But you were going to say he's wiser, like a father. No.
Sometimes I'm like a father.
Where I was going was is that like there was a time when you would probably have like hurricane puked all over your clothing at 5 in the afternoon down in New Orleans. How do you behave yourself these days with all of that that I've just recited? I mean, can you go down there and behave like a normal human, or do you still puke all over yourself?
Oh, no, I'll behave like a normal human because I just don't have the stamina or, like, the patience to sit there and be drunk all day. Once I got to my 30s, and I think this is a relatable thing for guys in their mid-30s, the act of getting drunk is still fun.
Yeah.
Once you arrive at being drunk, I just want to be home on my couch.
Right.
So those 2 hours, that flight up when you're like, okay, beer 1 through 5, it feels good. The vibes are good. Everyone's having fun. Yeah. Then you get beer 6 and you're like, you know, I'd really like to go home with a slice of pizza and pass out.
Out of any place in the country, if you walk down in New Orleans, is that the place you will probably be recognized most, especially for a college football national championship game?
That would be up there. I mean, Wrigleyville in the summer would be up there. But, yeah, that's probably going to be up there for sure, just because, you know, Clemson and LSU, I think we're pretty big at both schools. We're big Coach O guys. We had Joe Burrow on the podcast. So that will definitely be a top one. Last time I was in New Orleans, I saw the saddest sight I've ever seen in an airport, ever, okay? I went to New Orleans for WrestleMania, the WrestleMania that The Undertaker lost his streak. And the next day, flying out of New Orleans, there was a woman sitting at her gate waiting for her flight with a huge sign that said, "The streak will never end, Undertaker 22-0 or whatever it was.
Oh, no.
Just sitting there bringing her sign back home with her after Undertaker had lost in the most shocking loss I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, why would you throw the sign away?
I don't know. It was so sad. I was just like, man, that's all, but she made the sign. It was like a hand, you know, it wasn't printed out. It was handmade. Everything was beautiful. And then Undertaker lost, and that was the saddest. I mean, there's a lot of sad people in New Orleans on a Monday or a Tuesday morning after a long weekend. But that was especially sad.
Back to the days when you think you could withstand anything because you were young and you were, you know, able to bounce back. You remember the days where you would wake up after a long night and you would just, the hair of the dog worked, you would just have a drink and you'd be right back at it. I can't remember the last time that I've been able to do that.
Yeah, no, it's not. I mean, it's the rule of like when you get a little older, going to bachelor parties and everything, I try to basically get in for one night and then leave the next day because I know I only have 24 hours. I'll give you everything I got for 24 hours. I'll empty the tank, but after that, I'm done. I can't do 2 days back-to-back.
New Orleans fits that bill. Like, New Orleans is maximum 36 hours. I mean, if you can get to 48 hours, God bless you, but that's a 24 to 36-hour town max for me.
I'd agree. In Vegas, every time I try to go to Vegas now, I try to fly in. My move is to fly in Friday afternoon and fly out Saturday. And just, I'll give you my best 24 hours. I'll give it to you. You can have everything, you know?
I won't have to come
out of the game. You're not going to see me tap my head looking for 5 minutes to sit on the bench. I'll give you everything I got. But when Saturday night comes, I'm getting back on a plane and I'm going home.
That's good philosophy right there. Barstool Big Cat joining us, Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. All right, so about the son of a Mitch Bowl, I heard Abdallah earlier today with Danny Zetterman come up with a brilliant idea. How much would you pay for like the, it's like how ESPN does the game cast for the national championship game on a separate channel. You still get the broadcast, but you also get the square box of watching Ryan Pace watch the game.
Oh, man. That would be a phenomenal idea. I mean,
that's $99.99 that I would commit to pay per view of that.
I would say $100. And he has to talk, though. He can't sit there silently. He has to give his honest assessment of how everything goes. Maybe add one layer to it. During the commercials, instead of commercials, they just play all of Mitch's interceptions. You have to break those down, too. Mitchell, so it's like you go back and forth, back and forth.
Is Watson will make a play and goes, Mitch could do that.
See, I think this is what my prediction is. He sits in with a phone in each hand. He's got a burner account for all the Watson mistakes and a burner account for all the Mahomes mistakes. And as soon as one of those guys makes a mistake, he's on there with a different identity saying, see, these guys aren't perfect. Mitch could do them better than that.
Yeah.
So he's got two burners.
I mean, he doesn't really need that. That's going to just be featured on my Twitter account on Sunday. He just texts me, and I just throw it out there. But, yeah, this is... Look, this is going to happen every single... I mean, it's going to probably happen for the next decade, right?
How do you think Mitch... I mean, I feel bad... I feel bad for Mitch because he didn't have to be picked second overall. I'm sure he's glad he was picked second overall. But he, you know, I mean, that was the franchise's decision to do all that. We ask about Ryan Pace. How do you think Mitch will consume that game or whether or not he will consume that game?
Yeah, I hope he's not a football fan. I hope he doesn't like football, so he just doesn't watch it. That would be much better than having to sit there and watch it. Because, you know, I mean, what's the over-under for times Mitch Trubisky's brought up or the graphic is brought up during the broadcast? It's got to be, if you add the times his name is mentioned and the times the graphic is brought up,
yeah.
4.5, it's probably to hammer the over. Like,
yeah.
he'll be discussed on Sunday. And if you are Mitch Trubisky, yeah, it's got to be brutal to see that because he didn't ask for it. And this is what his legacy is going to be, tied to these two guys that between the two of them will do that. Fun little Mitch Bowl here.
Son of a Mitch Bowl. Get it right.
Son of a Mitch Bowl. Over-under. If I give you over-under 2.5 Super Bowls between Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes, what are you taking?
Going to the Super Bowl or wins?
Winning the Super Bowl.
I go under. I'll go
really?
Under. Yeah, it's hard to get there.
I think they're each going to get one.
Well, that's still under.
Right. I'm going to go over.
That Texans team is not built to win a Super Bowl. It's Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins and a whole lot of other
and
stuff that makes you nervous.
From Bill O'Brien.
Who's the guy on the Jeopardy challenge that shouldn't be there?
Brad.
Okay,
oh, yeah.
So he's Brad.
What's up with Abdallah throwing out those things where he's throwing out pictures of Brad and saying and Mitch and
someone
and,
bet, someone clearly bet on Brad to win the Tournament of Champions or the Legends Tournament, right? Am I wrong?
Ryan?
Poor Brad. That's just...
You bet on him, didn't you? Am I
no,
wrong?
I didn't bet on him. I'm not even a big Jeopardy guy. I just turned it on. I felt pity for Brad. I mean, this is one of those things where if you have won, he's won $4.5 million. Just stay in your lane, Brad. Then, you know, when they send you the letter saying, "Hey, we'd like to invite you to this," be like, "Oh, sorry,
no, thank you."
No, right.
Thank
I got things going.
Big Cat, you know me with the Bulls and how I watch every game. I mean, I'm almost C Red Sylvie. I turned off the game in the second quarter and just say I'll watch them in the second half. And I turned on Jeopardy last night for the championship.
Well, I had both on because I have multiple TVs in my living room. That's not a brag. That's just a statement of fact. And, yeah, the Bulls, that was like such a classic. Oh, here we go. It's time for the Bulls to start melting down. And they did it as scheduled because that's what they do. They could look good for a half. And then as soon as they put one half together, it's like, yep, they got to start looking bad again, and here we go.
I told Waddle this, that here's what I would do if I was Michael Reinsdorf now. Now that I'm starting to get hit in the pockets, I would go to PAX like Ricketts went to Jim Hendry and say, look, we got a golden parachute for you. You've been a great soldier. You played for us. You worked for us. But at the end of the year, it's done. And now you start learning about all the great young minds and call all these owners and you start working on your next vice president today.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Because the thing with the Bulls is it is not a fire Jim Boylan and everything's fixed. It is not a fire John Paxson and everything's fixed or fire Gar Forman and everything's fixed. It's a full culture rebuild. Like, that's where it's gotten to, where I don't think if you poll NBA players, no one wants to play in Chicago right now because the organization top to bottom is deemed a joke. So you have to rebuild everything. You have to go from the ground up. You have to start hiring very smart people, start hiring, you know, cutting-edge guys. You have to make it a players-first organization, and it hasn't been for a very long time.
So where would you start? What would you do right now? Now, Sylvie's got a good plan, but that plan would be implemented, I know now. But I'm right now, I have no patience for even what's going on with what I'm seeing at the moment. I'd like to see Doug Collins get his hands on some of these young guys for a half a season and see whether or not he could develop them. And then you implement Sylvie's plan at the end of the season.
Wait, that's more of the same, though.
No. I'm buying into what Sylvie's saying. But okay. I'm saying at this moment, Jim Boylan is, under your plan, Jim Boylan's going to coach remainder of the season.
Aren't you
right?
Better off, though, tanking and letting now this season play off because of Jim Boylan and how bad they are?
But are you going to tank to the point? I mean, how far is tanking going to take you with this crew?
Seventh.
Yeah, they're going to get in the seventh again. It's going to be the exact same thing.
I'm tired of not knowing who Lauri Markkanen is. I just am. And I don't want to see Coby White continue to go down like this. And I know he's 19 years of age or whatever it is, and there's going to be ups and there's going to be downs. Why not give Coby White the ball and just let him play 30-plus minutes a game as your starting point guard?
I agree with that. I 100% agree with that. But in terms of, like, You are now at the dangerous spot where you are hurting your young players. You don't, like, we went into this season thinking, okay, the Bulls are not good, but they have a young core that is at least attractive, and it looks like something's being built, and that seems to be all thrown out the window in a matter of 3 months, and it's desperation again, and it's not bad enough to be truly bad to get a franchise-changing guy. But it's bad enough to be more the same, and no one goes to the games. And I listen. The fix is, I don't know if you guys saw the baby race that they had a week ago at the United Center. The fix is to just have more baby races. Right. That's number one.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe bet on baby races.
Oh, yeah,
that's how you get people in the door.
Can you tease a baby race? No, you can't tease.
Yeah, can you tease a baby race? And then the real fix is you have to throw insane amounts of money at one of the top executives in the NBA.
Right.
And be like, hey, this is a proud franchise. We have history. You know, we're a big market. Come here. Prove that you can turn it around. You get, you know, carte blanche. You get to do everything from soup to nuts and hope that you get, you know, the Raptors GM or the Warriors GM or one of these guys who has been an exceptional front office guy. And that's the only way you can fix it.
I'm calling young minds a big cat. I'm asking them, why haven't we been able to land a free agent? What is the perception of the modern-day player of our franchise? How do you think we change it? And I start that today because in May, that's not enough time for him to learn. And I want them, when it gets to May, I want them to make the bold hire.
Right. Right, and you're absolutely right that time is of the essence here, and if you get all the way to the end of the season, you're going to be stuck in the line of other people firing their staffs. And I do think that the Bulls, like, do you really think they're going to fire John Paxson? Because that's the problem, too, is that it's just going to be more of the same. Even if you clean out coach and GM, it's going to be the same thing where people are going to be like, well, guess what? The core, the foundation of this franchise has not changed. Ownership and the guy who's really calling all the shots haven't changed, so why would I risk going there if I can basically get all the decision-making taken away from me? That's really what Michael Reinsdorf has to do. He has to say, I'm going to give not only someone like a Sam Presti or someone like that, not only am I going to give them an insane amount of money, but I'm going to give them 100% control and really mean it. Really mean 100% control and be a hands-off owner and say, just win.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, on a lighter note in the NBA, the Boulder move last night, Jimmy Butler blowing kisses or KD tweeting everybody about how relevant Brooklyn is?
I like the KD stuff because I've done a little bit of a 180 on KD where when he was first, you know, found to be kind of online a lot and maybe get upset about things, I was always like, oh, that seems like you shouldn't be bothered by it. But when he had the burner account and he kind of owned it, I just think the guy likes to mix it up online. And it's very weird to think about, obviously the Jordan documentary, which is coming out in June, I'm sure they're going to touch on it, like the fishbowl effect of pro athletes and especially NBA athletes because their face is out there, they're tall. Like, you can't just anonymously walk through, like Mike Trout can walk through, you know, New York City. Kevin Durant cannot. So I think that weighs on them where they can't go outside without having, you know, the flash in their face all the time. So they sit at home and they're looking for interaction. And I understand where Kevin Durant's coming from. He might be wrong and come across as sensitive, but I kind of understand that sometimes he just wants to get in a Twitter fight.
Hey, before I give you the gift of a 10-team teaser, I want to. What is this whole thing? And Sylvia's talked about this as well. This whole thing, but don't F with cats.
Oh yeah, you got to watch it. You have to watch it. It is wild. A wild documentary on Netflix that is three parts, and it's the first part is tough to watch because they talk about a video that is very, very disturbing in nature, but they don't show the video. So stick with it,
okay.
But don't F with cats on Netflix. It is a wild turn. It's I highly, highly recommend it.
I've been telling him that, Big Cat. I've been saying to everybody, because I've been so addicted to all these serial killer documentaries
on
Netflix.
What does that say about you?
They're pretty interesting, though, Waddle.
Are you looking for tips?
Are you maybe got like a big board?
Yeah, I don't know what he's doing over there. He's
draw stuff up.
I'm just learning about it. I mean, it's interesting.
Okay.
Just do it. Trust me, Waddle. You'll like it.
Okay.
Make sure you do it before your kids go back to college.
Listen, the old lady's out of town at a soccer tournament. I'll watch it this weekend.
Well, no. How are you going to turn on your Apple TV?
I figured out how to do it.
Oh,
I did.
Wow.
I'm through five episodes. I was praying for the Bulls game to end last night so I could get to episode five of the morning show.
That's bad because I've always said, you know, like, what's your backup plan in life? And, like, if everything falls apart, I just go move into your house and turn on your electronics.
That's still cool. There's a lot of stuff, I almost said the other word, in my house that I can't function. I can't work.
I got it.
All right, well, who's our 10-team teaser, Abdallah?
All right, so
you got
Big
a pen
Cat,
and paper?
You got this? We're taking every spread, every over-under, including the national championship
and
game.
And we're playing.
Oh, my God.
You ready for this ride?
It
pays.
Stupid.
If you bet $10, you win $200. What are you talking about? This is great.
So we got a $30 play for $600 because it's me, Abdallah, and Mellor.
Yeah, because somebody didn't want to spend $10 on this.
No part.
Okay.
Of it.
Okay. So we're gonna take the Ravens -2.5. Or this is after you tease everything. 6.5-point teaser. Okay. We're gonna take the Ravens. We're gonna take the under in the Ravens game.
I like it.
We're gonna take the Seahawks. Tease them to +10.
Love
we're
it.
Gonna take the under in that game as well.
I like it.
Okay. We're gonna take the 49ers. Tease them to -0.5, so they just got to win. And we're going to go over in that game in the 49ers and Vikings. We're going to take the Chiefs, tease them down to -3.
Of course.
And we're going to go over in that game. 44.5 is what it teases to.
Of course.
Then we're going to take Clemson, and that pushes it to +12.5.
Yes.
And we're going to go over in that game. 63.5.
This is like giving money away.
You let Adam Abdallah and his little roll tide.
No, I think LSU's going to win. Whoa. Don't get it twisted. I think LSU's going to win. I just don't know if they win by...
Why would you take LSU?
Because I don't think they win by 12.5, though.
Backdoor cover.
But wait, if you think LSU's going to win, why wouldn't you tease LSU to win than have... to worry about Clemson keeping within 12.
Can I give you a little uneducated?
I'll tell you this. We talked to Doug Kazarian, math guy and gambling man, and he said that his advice is never tease through the number because
I don't even know what that means.
I agree.
Yeah. So okay. So that would be teasing through the number.
Oh, who cares?
Okay. So
come
you're
on,
in?
You want a taste?
Come
don't
on,
you?
You're
you
in.
Want a taste?
You're in. Make it, but put LSU if you want to. That's fine.
All right, maybe I'll do it.
You'll do it.
Hey, we'll make it an 11-team tease, and we'll try to hit the in between.
We'll middle it.
Maybe I'll just do the opposite and see what happens.
Yes, that's good.
The problem is with you guys with this is what happens if the 49ers lose and then you have a bet that's just gone in the
it's
first
gone.
Game.
It's gone. That's what I mean. It's
then we have lost another 10
drink.
Bucks.
Yeah, have then, another
then
drink.
Then we reloaded because of 18 teaser.
Sunday.
They start
you know
chasing.
What you, do? You know what you actually really need to do is you actually need to take all those bets that you just said and bet them straight as well. Because what always happens when you tease
is you'll
go like 9-2 and you'll lose the tease, but you would have won 9 bets on its own.
Or you can lose not only the tease, but the 9 other ones also, so you lose 9-10 bets.
That's not thinking positive. So you need to positive vibes only.
Big Cat, enjoy New Orleans, okay?
All right, thanks, guys. I'll have some stories, maybe a picture with number six. So I'll make sure to keep everyone in the loop.
That's going to be fantastic.
Puking.
Thanks, Big Cat.
See ya.
All right, see you guys.
There he is, Barstool Big Cat. Catch him every Thursday at 4 o'clock. Interesting piece today on the Bears. Are they closer to winning a Super Bowl or to being one of the worst teams in the league?
Oh, boy.
We'll discuss that coming up next.
This is Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Yeah, you know, obviously you have a lot of peers throughout the league you talk to and you lean on, not just with him, with, you know, a lot of things with our team. It's good to have outside opinions from people you respect. But I think, Mark, one of the things maybe as a strength of mine is to remove emotions and remove those feelings. And it's always just what's best for our franchise. And I think, you know, Matt and I both operate with no egos and a lot of humility. And every discussion we have is what's best for our team. So I understand what you're saying, but that never factors into my decision making.
Tough to believe that emotion doesn't figure in, but that's what Ryan Pace said just over a week ago.
Yeah.
Can you believe it was only just over a week ago? The New Year's Eve press conference? It feels like a long time ago. And
it feels like the season from our angle has been tucked away for probably longer than it has.
Right, yeah. Right.
I don't think it felt like an 8-8 year either.
I'm
not trying to be a doomsday guy, but I didn't think it was. I think it was 8-8 worthy.
Here's what they brought up in the trib today. They said, "Could you make the argument that the Bears are no closer to being a real Super Bowl contender than they are to replacing their quarterback, their general manager, and their head coach?" Isn't that the way they phrased it,
yeah,
Mellor, to that? Something like that. Are they basically right in the middle of those two destinations that you could say that, you know, while they're not terrible, they're also not close to being great, and they're not really close to being fired, but they're right there in the middle.
Well,
and
I think
this year could decide where they go.
I think it's a fair assessment for the following reasons. You've got a defense. Okay, let's play the positive angle. You've got a defense that was number one in the league last year in scoring, takeaways, defensive touchdowns, pretty much every metric you use, they were at the top of the hill. This past year, while they regressed statistically in a lot of categories, they were still the fourth best scoring defense in the league. In fact, I think they gave up less than a full point more per game this year than they did last year. You know, so they were like 17-6, and this year they're 18-5.
That's terrible.
So it was right at a point less. No, I mean defensively. So you had all that regression in terms of takeaways and touchdowns.
And you still held them to good
totals. And you still held teams to 18.5 points per game. So your defense is still there. And I still contend, okay, that there's no chance, and maybe I'll end up with a giant egg on my face, there's no chance next year that even if things don't go the way we want and it ends up in change, that they'll end up 29th in both yards per game and points per game. I don't think it could get worse. I don't believe in my heart, my football heart, it could get worse.
What is more likely then? Let me ask you this, just like we're talking about it. They were 21st in their first year. They were 29th this year, you said?
Yes.
So that is 8 spots. So let me go from 21, 8 spots up would be 13.
No, I don't believe that.
Well, are they closer to getting to the 13th place offense? Is it more likely to be 13th or 29th?
Right now, I would say it's probably closer to 29 than 13. Like, and because what I'm looking at is an offensive line that needs to be retooled. It just does. I'm looking at a quarterback that, you know, he just hasn't been good enough and consistent enough. You know, I just can't fall for the, well, he does this really well, and did you see that play? Those things just didn't happen enough. The other things happened more frequently. I don't see a tight end situation that has an easy answer to it. Maybe, you know, maybe Trey Burton was just hurt this whole time. Going back to like the ninth week of 2018, I don't know.
Maybe they misdiagnosed him.
Maybe that. But so maybe he comes back and he's healthy and he goes back to being the player that we saw the first half of the 2018 season. But that's a leap to get there. Adam Shaheen, I mean, what is Anthony Miller's physical status going to be because of the second shoulder surgery? Outside of Allen Robinson, who's fantastic, who else are they going to throw the football to? So there's still a bunch of questions that are out there. A
lot of questions. Thought that was an interesting thing. If you want to weigh in,
312-332-3776.
Are they closer to 13th or 29th? Well, they should be better than 21st, don't you think?
Well, I thought they should have been. Like, I was looking for moderate progress this year. I was looking to go from 21 to 16, middle of the pack.
And then I wrote this down while you were talking because I was trying to rationalize in my head, where are they closer to? Are they closer to a Super Bowl, or are they closer to replacing everybody? You have a general manager you probably don't want picking another quarterback. You have a head coach that many of us want to replace as your OC. You don't want him playing call plays anymore. And you have a quarterback that's
No, I'm
so
like,
I mean,
like, let's
I
say
think that answers everything you need to know there.
Let me paint you this picture. If they come out next year and they make improvement from 29th, but it's moderate improvement. Okay, so you're like 23rd. You average 315 yards, and you average 19.6 points per game. Mitch is a little better next year than he was this year. Okay, so you've seen modest improvement, but you're still 8-8. You're out of the postseason. What change do you expect?
Well, I think that's the worst spot to be in. Haven't we discussed this with all of our teams?
Yes.
Right in the middle is the worst spot to be.
Wouldn't you suggest that that's probably the most likely outcome? Full disaster, back to 12-4, or 7-9, 8-8. So, like, if you think they're getting back to a 12-4, 11-5, and winning the division, which is improved, and oh, by the way, two of your wins were against the Lions this year, and neither game Matthew Stafford play.
Right.
So, where do you think, what's more likely based on some of the stuff that you've seen?
I think that's what they are right now. They're a 9-7, 8-8 team.
Okay, so if they go, let's say, because this year felt more like 7-9 to me than 8-8. So we'll just say 8-8. They make moderate improvement, and Mitch is, you're still like, well, it was better this year. So this year, what was he? I don't know what his passing yards were, but he was 17 touchdowns and 10 interceptions. He was dead last in yards per attempt. So let's say he makes some progress, but not enough for you individually to believe that it's worth a fifth year. How do you believe they'll respond?
Depends on pace. I mean, how disillusioned is he?
Well, what does Mitch have to do in your world to earn the opportunity to be the starter again in the following year?
Mitch has to be good. I mean, it's year three in the system, year four in his career. Mitch has to be more than just a game manager.
What's good?
Mitch has to be a difference-making quarterback. Mitch has to jump to, like, the middle of the pack, like you say. That all these quarterbacks, sometimes some guys, like a Matty Ryan, could be, like, 12th in the league one year. Next year, he could win the MVP. I'm not asking for that. I want Mitch to be, like, can you, when we read the quarterback index, can you be middle of the pack? You need a significant jump, though, from, like, 29th to being in that group that's above average.
Okay, so we'll call it 16th. So what metric do you want to use? Rating, yards, touchdowns, average per attempt?
All of it.
Well, but give me one, and I'll give you the guy who is there. Average yards per attempt. How about we go there? Because that's where he was last this year. He was 32nd.
Yeah.
16th with Baker Mayfield at 7.2 yards per attempt. Mitch averaged 6.1. Quarterback rating. The 16th ranked quarterback in the league this year was Gardner Minshew with a 91.2.
The bar, that's not a real high bar. So
touchdowns.
Maybe I should ask for more.
So touchdowns. Number 16 was Ryan Tannehill. He had 22, but he only played 12 games.
No. 22 touchdowns in 12 games.
I mean,
so should we be asking for more? Is it realistic
I'd
to ask
say
for
be
more?
Careful. I mean, based on what you've seen.
312-332-3776. A couple of reminders. If you missed our Jay Cutler interview, people loved it. People were raving that it's just that Jay's our best guest. Really relaxed, really funny. We will replay that for you in about 20 minutes at 5 o'clock. So that's coming up. A lot of football talk, but a lot of fun talk as well. So you're going to get, if you like the Jay Cutler show, you're going to love what you hear for your drive home here at 5 o'clock. We also need a contestant. And Waddle wants to be the contestant because he just wants to gamble with us. What's at stake? Brought to you by GT Prime. Here's what we're gambling on, Waddle. We're gambling on the Son of a Mitch Bowl.
Oh, we are?
Yes.
I know which way I'd go.
All right, so we need from the listener, you need to tweet us. You need in your tweet to pick, do you want the Texans and the 9.5 or do you want the favorite Chiefs at home giving 9.5? Tell us which side you want and tell us what you're willing to put up at stake. Hashtag it, what's at stake?
STEAK.
Right. Like, we just cleaned out our office, and there was some really good stuff in there that we're going to be giving away to listeners.
There's also some moldy trash.
There's moldy trash. We don't want your moldy trash, but we want something that maybe you don't want anymore, and you're willing to give up. So send us a picture with that. Hashtag it, what's at stake? And pick either the Texans or the Chiefs. We'll pick a contestant before we leave. And if you win your bet, say you take the Texans and say they lose by 3, you'll still cover and you'll get a gift card from GT Prime, 707 North Well Street. For more info, visit GTPrimeRestaurant.com. You're going to want to make a reservation. It's absolutely awesome. Chef Giuseppe is great. Big steaks, the ambiance. If you want to sample a bunch of different cuts of meat.
If I want some homemade pasta.
They've got that, too. I mean, that's what he specializes in, after all. And the Boca Restaurant Group just named Restaurateurs of the Year, James Beard Award.
Kind of like being the MVP of the NFL.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's everything. And if you want to talk Bears with us now, 332-3776. Or if you want to touch on our Bulls thoughts. We had a lot of Bulls thoughts after another bad loss, 12 games under 500. Whatever's on your mind, phone number to reach us right now. We're commercial free towards the top of the hour. Jamal in Uptown, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Jamal?
What's up, man? Hey, correct me if I'm wrong. It's a lot of parity in football and in hockey, right?
Yes.
You might make the postseason 1 year. You know, minus you don't have any too many catastrophic injuries that would prohibit somebody to play. You make the postseason, you win your division 1 year, then trades and stuff, free agency, whatever it may be.
Okay.
Mitch isn't the sole reason why he's bad.
We know that.
Yeah, I don't think any of us here have said that.
The personnel you got on offense, man. Come on, man. Gabriel, where else would he be a number two wide receiver at? In the National Football League. Okay, what do you have that resembles a running back? Tariq Cohen, come on, man.
Well, Montgomery, they traded up for. I mean, they barely gave him the ball. I'll go with your play calling.
Okay, but you get rid of Jordan Howard, who only rushed for 4.5 yards per carry on average for a career.
Jamal, I think we agree with you that it's not all Mitch, but I would return.
It ain't all Mitch, man.
Listen.
You don't have nobody that can get you third and short, you know, running the football.
Let me ask you a question, Jamal.
All right. And you got a guy, listen. You got a guy in Nagy, right? 2-3 weeks prior to the playoffs, you running trick plays at the goal line with middle linebackers, right?
I know. Look, I've said he should give a play call.
It's the postseason, okay? And he's running the same plays as if the story ain't out.
Is Mitch a problem at all? Is Mitch a problem at all?
Man, listen. Hey, they need a personnel overhaul. They need a personnel overhaul in the office. The guys that's doing the drafting, making the decisions as far as acquiring the talent. All right, and quite frankly, Nagy ain't the guy for it, man. He don't have the temperament, man. Nor does he know what he's doing.
All right, Jamal, thank you. All right, thanks, Jamal. A lot of thoughts.
Well, but I think the misperception, if you listen to our show, from some people is that we're blaming Mitch for all the things that have gone wrong.
Right.
Listen, I think on a number of occasions, the both of us have said we're more disappointed in the coach than the quarterback because we had higher expectations for the coach than the quarterback.
I want his play calling replaced with the new offensive coordinator.
Yeah, I don't.
I know, but that's me recognizing how bad
absolutely.
The play calling is.
Listen, we've talked all year about the inability to run the football and the tight ends not contributing. That is all true. These are all true conversations or comments. But the quarterback play has not been good enough, even with the lack of talent around him. And again, I'll go to the most obvious and the most recent example that is just one in a many, is that's the overthrow of Allen Robinson against the Kansas City Chiefs when that play's got to be made consistently by a team that has playoff hopes. That changes the entire outlook of the game. You're down 10-0. It should be 10-7, and the Chiefs may ultimately roll you and beat you, but it changes the complexion of the game, and those plays have happened consistently throughout the year.
We saw Watson make that play this week. We saw Cousins make that play this week.
So we're not,
Mitch has consistently missed it.
So we're not sitting here telling you that Mitch is the only problem, and I think we've been really consistent with that. But if you want to put your head in the sand and suggest it's everything but Mitch, boy, I think you're going to be disappointed.
Mike in Arlington Heights, he wants to join the fight. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how we doing? Mr. Waddle, all you say is Mitch, Mitch, Mitch. Yeah. And you compare him to Minshew? I'd rather have Minshew's receivers than the Bears' receivers. And a fifth-string tight end? I'm a Steelers fan. I lived in Pittsburgh. But all I listen to you say is Mitch, Mitch, Mitch.
Mike, I just got done with 2 minutes of telling you the other issues on offense that are a problem. How can you say that? Sylvie asked me, I said, give me a stat on where 16th lies. And for that quarterback rating, I looked on the ESPN website, and at number 16 in terms of the top-rated quarterbacks, it was Gardner Minshew. It could have been any quarterback. He's the one that fell there. I'm not comparing the two. The exercise was, what you want is somebody who's middle of the pack next year. And based on that statistic, quarterback rating, the guy in 2019 who ranked 16th with Gardner Minshew, that's what that exercise was about.
Well, the Jaguars have Fournette. That's another thing you leave out.
But I didn't leave out anything, Mike. He asked me, where did the person who was 16th in quarterback rating, that's who it was. I just went through the whole litany, Mike, of the offensive issues. I gave you the offensive line that couldn't create any space. I gave you a group of tight ends that gave you no help. I just said, Mike, that I was more disappointed in the coach and his play calling than I was the quarterback. At what point do you connect those dots and suggest that I've been telling you it's Mitch, 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 Mitch?
That's all I ever hear from you, to be totally honest with you. Mitch, Mitch, Mitch.
Well, were you listening 2 minutes ago when I went through the long list of offensive problems they have?
Yes, the tight end, the fifth-string tight end.
Well, that's not Mitch, 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 Mitch. Mike, that's tight end, that's offensive line, that's receivers, that's coach. I mean, that's not Mitch, 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 Mitch.
Well, I listen to you every day, and it's Mitch, Mitch,
I appreciate you listening every day, Mike.
God bless you for listening every day.
Have a good show.
See you, Mikey. Thanks, buddy. Mike hated that he just called it.
Yeah, well, I mean,
you really scolded him.
Well, but I very rarely do that.
You did that it can be on him.
But seriously, come on. I mean, that was my point. When Jamal called us and said the same thing, I went through the long litany of things that you and I have both talked about all season long, that it's not just the quarterback. The quarterback's the most important position in the sport.
Yeah, Andy in New Lenox. Did you finally buy a new phone, Andy?
Yeah, I don't know what that was. I think I did get a new phone. Yeah.
Good. Okay.
We'll leave it at that. So I got an interesting one for you guys. But I need you first to take your Bears fandom out of it. So just think of it as your... Say you're a fan of the Steelers, like that last guy.
So the Steelers.
So my question is, would you rather be the coach in waiting in Kansas City with Mahomes as your quarterback, but you have to wait out Andy Reid? So he could coach another 5 years, or they could win the Super Bowl this year and he could retire. Or would you rather be the head coach of the Bears right now with Mitch Trubisky?
I want the head coaching gig now. I mean, I know what you're getting at, that still you're going to get Mahomes probably in the prime years still. But so I want it now.
The point that I would call out would be the fact that every year we see these guys get a head coaching job, and with the, you know, their teams are in disarray, and then those guys never get another head coaching job. So what I'm saying is, if Matt Nagy could go back in time and was like, you know, and I don't know if Kansas City was like, hey, you're our guy when Andy's gone. That might not be the case. It's all hypothetical. But, I mean, if you're in Kansas City and they're telling you that you're going to be the next guy, wouldn't you just wait that out and have Patrick Mahomes and have a legendary quarterback instead of risking never getting another job because of you know, Mitch Trubisky and the other problems.
What I would say this, Andy, and I think it's a good question, but I think it's asked in the essence of, in the spirit of timing. And the timing is different now than it was for Matt Nagy back then. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, maybe it would be a less attractive job now than it was 2 years ago when he took the job. And really, you were getting Mitch after a year in a system didn't fit. And you didn't know what you had, I guess, so to speak. And you still had this thought that, hey, I got a young quarterback that's got very little experience and I'll get the most out of him. You may have a different opinion now of the situation 2 years in. Now, I understand what you're saying as well. Look, you've got a defense that you can win with right now.
And you may get another choice of a quarterback, too. Right. You may get your guy.
Right, and you don't know how long Andy may be there indefinitely in Kansas City. I think if you get an opportunity to coach, especially in a city like this, and remember, they were 12-4 a year ago, I think you take the chance to coach this team.
Howard and Skokie, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Howard?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. There's three stats you want to look at. If either it's 10.5 wins, it's 12th in total offense. I think the more important stat of everything is third down efficiency. He's just not efficient on third down. Forget everything else. He cannot complete the pass on third down. And with that, if he's not in the top 16, he can't be back next year.
Well, I would say this, Howard. Your third down conversion rate is largely tied to how well you do on first and second down.
It's always third and long.
Right. So if you're not running the football effectively, there's a good chance you're going to find yourself in third and unmanageable. So as much as I agree with you, third down is the key down, it's also very much influenced by what you do earlier. And if you're a one-dimensional team and you can't run the football, there's probably a good chance you're going to be third and more than you want.
Pete in Bucktown. Hey, Pete, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Also a P1 listener here.
Thank you. That's preset one on your radio for everyone out there. Make sure you're in the P1 club.
And I still be also a father of a Mason.
Oh, very good. Yeah. Cool name.
Yeah, it is. My great-grandmother's maiden name.
Oh, very cool.
I just wanted to touch on, like, Nagy and his play calling, and even more so his press conferences afterwards explaining his play calling and saying that it's hard to do second down and 9 and second and 8 when you don't get anything on first down. Well, an incomplete pass doesn't really do the same thing. You're second and 10. What are you guys' thoughts on that? And Waddle, I'm also like fully on with you. Mitch is not the only problem. There's a lot of other problems on the offense.
No, I agree with you.
Hang up and listen, guys.
Thanks, Pete. Thanks for listening.
I think that they, I mean, look, if it was, especially when you have a quarterback that has not proven that he is a significant difference maker. I said this weeks ago, it's a very dependent decision. And when you realize your quarterback is more dependent than others, if you can't run the football, you're really putting him behind the eight ball. And I don't think, even with their inability to run it effectively, they did enough to focus on running the ball and taking some of the pressure off of Mitch.
All right, Mitchell, I'm putting a shot clock up because we got to play the Cutler interview. You get 45 seconds, go.
Here we go. First of all, folks, it's a full moon basically in Cancer and a lunar eclipse. That's why people are nuts. Uh-huh. Number two, regarding Trubisky, folks, you can't allow, you know, this to be a systemic problem. At some point, you got to pay the piper. Okay, if we have to get Josh McCown to come out of retirement for the second time, it'd be to our upside because he can actually throw downfield. Okay, number three, if you think that Pace is ever going to be held accountable for his lack of decision making on Trubisky, you're fooling yourself. What it comes down to is that this stock has to plummet to such a point. This stock has to plummet to such a point that next year they'll be forced to have to do something. And you know what? I don't see them doing a thing.
All right, Mitchell. Good job, Mitch. Yeah, you summed it up. Good. Brought it home there. I mean, we will see. I don't know. The truth is, I don't know if Pace would be held accountable if they underachieve next year.
I wish it was just one simple problem, but it's not. I see other issues that it may be hard to solve all their problems in one fell swoop.
You want Can't Miss Radio? Jay Cutler answers everything, and it's all next.
This is Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Like season three of Very Cavallari, or as Jay likes to call it, Barely Cavallari, starts tonight.
Let's bring him in.